Now, last week we spent a little bit of time talking about the role of Beis Din. So we really spoke about two different dimensions of the Shaila. First, we spoke defining what exactly qualifies, who exactly qualifies as a Beis Din for Geirus. Then we spoke a little bit about what exactly the role of Beis Din is in terms of what precisely they're supposed to see during the Geirus. So even though there was a Machlokes Rishonim and Shulchan Aruch we paskin that it's a Sveikat Adina, whether the Beis Din has to mamish see the Tevil as well, or maybe it suffices the Beis Din just to witness the Kabbalah and Mitzvahs. So no responsible Beis Din today is gonna guide people according to half the Rishonim. There are a lot of irresponsible that they do that may do that, but no responsible Beis Din is gonna be Magai somebody just saying that, well, it's Machlokes Rishonim, so therefore we're gonna hope for the best. So we're gonna assume that in order for Geirus to really be done properly, you have to see not just the Kabbalah and Mitzvahs, you have to have the Tevilah as well. The question becomes, what exactly does that mean, practically speaking, that the Beis Din has to witness, has to supervise the Tevilah? So we did see the possibility last week that maybe seeing the Tevilah is not an absolute in the sense of, as long as you know the Tevilah took place, maybe that would be sufficient. You don't need to mamish visualize it with your eyes. We saw such a day in Tosfos. On the other hand, not everybody did agree to that. That was not Muslim necessarily. So it was based on this that there was some poskim who came with the following suggestion. The reason why this suggestion came about was for obvious reasons, obvious problems, that when you have a geirus done for a woman, you have a geirus, so this could potentially have done by people who are not careful, could potentially become a possible breach of tznius, of course something that we clearly don't want to happen at all. So the Gemara already addresses this problem. The Gemara already talks about how to do this appropriately, that the woman is completely covered up, they're just barely just able to see her head, and they have a conversation with ushers in the mikvah, and they ask to get kabbalas and mitzvahs again. Then she goes under the water, and they run out right away. And the Gemara describes, and the Shulchan Aruch describes how to do it in the most appropriate manner. There shouldn't be any breach of tznius. But maybe some people have felt a little bit uncomfortable even with that. And as such, some rabbanim try to come up with different eitzes, but maybe try to make it even a little bit easier than that. So there was a suggestion that was come up by some real poskim. A suggestion was brought up to maybe if the Beis Din doesn't have to mamish see the tevila, as long as the Beis could hear the tevila. Maybe that's also shmiyas kiriyah. If you dias kiriyah, maybe shmiyas kiriyah. Maybe the dayanim can stand also in the next room. There'll be a woman. Will go and help the woman get ready to go to the mikvah, and then she'll go down, and the woman will be there watching her, but the woman's not going to be the dayanet, unless you hold like that day in the Mordechai from last week, so we're going to rely on the three dayanim. So the three dayanim will stand in the next room, they'll listen, when they hear a big splash, then they know that the woman went under the water. They know she went under the water, maybe she, so let's even assume, best case scenario, they can mamish know, they can almost testify, so to speak, that they know for a fact that the woman went under the water. So are we going to accept that or not? So there was a suggestion to accept that, and then there were many poskim who had a lot of serious reservations. Rav Moshe did not like that etza. Rav Moshe thought that who says that's considered to be a re'iyah one day and yesh b'farshim, even though Rav Moshe quoted that yesh b'farshim b'chol Yisrael, but who says we follow that yesh b'farshim, the Shabbat der Eis of the Jewish or not? So Rav Moshe said, even though it's true that the necessity for Beis Din for Tevil is not an absolute, there is a machlokes rishon about it, a Suffolk Jew, their whole life's going to be with the Suffolk Jew. One day in Tosfos, the Rosh did not like that. And many of the Batei Binim today don't rely on that. And they probably should not be relying on that. They should have a real bona fide Riyah in the old way, the same way it's described in the Gemara, in the Ram, the Shulchan Aruch. It should be done in the most similar way possible. But in terms of substituting anything short for a real Riyah, so really is not appropriate. Again, they don't have to use common sense and sensitivity and sneers to make sure that it's done appropriately. There is a lamdash shayla which has some serious complications also with halacha as to what exactly the role of the dayanim is when they are supervising the geirus. So do we say that the dayanim are almost like the makabalas of geirim? Means that the dayanim are almost like representing, so to speak, Klal Yisrael, or they're representing the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, whoever exactly they're representing, because they're the ones who will be makabel the geirim. Or there is no such concept. The dayanim are just there. They're just sitting there, they're watching and showing. There's no formal. The dayanim are not playing a formal role. They're not playing an acceptance role. They're just almost as bystanders. Minaf kamin levina. So what if the dayanim are watching a geirus and they don't even know that they're watching a geirus? Means there is a geirus taking place in front of their eyes. It's going right over them. Means they're watching it, but they're not cognizant of the fact that they're even watching a geirus in the first place. Would that be acceptable or not? So So if you hold that the role of the Dayanim is to be almost like a Makabalus Ager, so then maybe one could argue, how could you be Makabalus Ager? How could you be the one who's reaching out and receiving? You'll be Makabalus Ager if you don't even know what you're doing. So if you hold that the role of the Dayanim is to be more active, it's hard to believe that without the knowledge of what they're doing, that's going to suffice. If you hold that the role of the Dayanim is just kind of to be there, they don't really have to understand exactly what they're doing, so then maybe they're sure they know what's going on or not. So l'chora, there's a raya, at least from one day in Tosfos, that from the sugya that we just mentioned before. Tosfos quoted Yesh Mefarshim that you don't really need Dayanim to be there at the time of the Geirus, as long as everyone in town knows that this woman is from, she's going to the mikvah, so that's good enough. So what does that mean exactly? Everyone in town for the last 20 years knows this woman's been going to the mikvah. It's true. I know she's been going to the mikvah, but I don't know she's been going to the Geirus. Nobody, I didn't know the scandal. I didn't know the problem yet. So who exactly are these Dayanim? The place says the Dayanim are the Oilim. The felt is the Dayanim. Everybody knows that she's going to the mikvah. That's nice that we know. I mean, that can come to Beis Din and say, I know for a fact that Mrs. Plony has been going to the mikvah, but it never dawned on me that she's going to the Geirus because I didn't know there was any problem that he picked up in the Geirus from 20 years ago. So the fact that the Yesh Mefarshim are willing to accept such a Re'ias Beis Din makes it sound like the Yesh Mefarshim are assuming it's not really an active, it's not really a Kabbalist Geirus being done by the Beis Din. Maybe that's Tafka why the Rishon disagreed. Maybe that's why the other Dan Taisa didn't like that. Maybe that's why most Rishon didn't accept the Yesh Mefarshim, perhaps. Maybe they held that, no, that's not enough for the Beis Din to see it. They have to be actively seeing it. They have to be actively accepting it. At least they have to be cognizant.
In this case, the Re'ia, going back to the last discussion,
Right. Knowing would be okay, but it would be more. But right, these Yesh Mefarshim are tremendous mekilim. Means they hold that. They hold both. Right. They hold both. Right. So the Nedvi Huda alludes to this. He doesn't quote this text explicitly, but he alludes to the Shaila. He has notes in the Dagom Avav on the side of Shulchan Aruch and Chas Geirus. So he has the following Shaila. It's a Shaila we haven't spoke all about yet. We mentioned a little bit in the past, but we're going to talk about it this time and next time about the unique case of Geirus. Let's go to Mubarish and his Geira. If you have a woman who is pregnant, who is converting, so the Gemara says, the Farish in Yavama, that there's no need for her to, for the baby, when the baby's born, there's no need for the baby to be toivel again. The Gemara just has a machlokes, why that's so. So one day the Gemara is uber yachimo, because the baby is part of the mother's body. So the same way her legs, her stomach, her kidneys, every part of her body converts, so too her baby inside converts also. So it's part of her geirus. The other thing the Gemara says, no, Not part of her geirus. Uba lav yerchimo. It's a separate entity. Ayd is a chatzitza. No, it's not really a chatzitza. It's the normal way. Again, we mentioned this a little bit in the past. Before the one day in the Gemara, the geirus of this baby is taking place as an independent geirus. There are really two different geirus that are going on. There's the geirus of the mother going under the water, and there's the geirus of the baby going under the water. So the Yudha raises the shaila. What would it then be if the Beis Din doesn't know she's pregnant? What if she's not in her ninth month? She's in her second month. Maybe she doesn't know she's pregnant. What would it then be? So would we accept such a? Would we say the Muberes Bechei Gavna is Ein Tzarech Tefila or not? So the Nevi'ah says it's an interesting shaila, and he says it's a Tzarech Iyun. And he writes it's Tali Ba'ashli Ravavei. It's Tali are big trees, and it's Tali a lot of lumdas, and he doesn't have any room to elaborate. It leaves you hanging in Dagom Avava. So what's he alluding to? So Lachora, he's alluding to. It really depends on two shailas. If you hold that Muberes and his Gaia is based on Ubi Yachim was part of her geirus, then what do you need the Beis Din to know that she's pregnant? Let's say she has three kidneys. So the Beis Din has to know she has three kidneys. And if they don't know she has a third kidney, so that third kidney is a goyish kidney, well, that's ridiculous. The Beis Din doesn't know that she has 11 fingers. So their 11 fingers are goyish, well, that's almost absurd. So once they know that they're watching a geirus, so her whole body is included in that Yediyah said Beis Din. So if you hold that the geirus of the baby is based on Ubi Yachim, so who cares whether the Beis Din knows or not? But if you hold that Uba Lav Yerachimo, then the Nebuta is Nochis to the Shaila. If you hold that Uba Lav Yerachimo, there are really two separate independent Geirus going on. There's Geirus of heart and Geirus of the baby, and the Beis Din is watching the Geirus of the baby, but they don't have a clue, but they're watching. They don't even know that the woman's pregnant. So maybe you can argue that when you have a Beis Din that's watching a Geirus, but not aware of what they're watching, maybe that's no good. So the Nebuta blight by Tzarchim. Taka leaves that as a Tzarchim, I'm not sure. So I thought that's the Yesh Mefarshim. The Yesh Mefarshim are clearly, that day in Tosfos clearly is assuming that the role of the Beis Din is not really to be a Makabel to Geir, just they have to be a group of people, three there, who are watching it. What'd you say, no? That maybe the role of the Beis Din is to be a Makabel to Geir, and if you don't know about the Kabbalah to Geir, then you have a problem.
There's perhaps also a raya that you, that bizn doesn't need to see the, if it's labi or hemo, then does that mean that you don't need to see the actual submersion?
I'm seeing the submersion. Let's say I know the woman's pregnant. She's in a 9 month. So I see there's a big, it's a baby inside. Obviously the baby's inside. So I'm watching that baby go under the water. So it's true that there's a chatzitza there. It's a very big chatzitza, but I still see the baby go under the water.
So if you have a chatzitza, or like if you had like a glass door that only, that you can only see like one of those.
Maybe I could just see like an image. I could always see, I could see the image.
Yeah.
If you want to be in a riot, interesting. Cool. It's like the airplanes, like by security by the airport.
Right.
Exactly. New interesting right. things. You have to get, if I would see the woman's whole body, but I wouldn't see the body parts, it wouldn't be, so to speak, that sneeze issue.
Right.
I would see the whole body going under, so maybe that would be cool. Go watching a riot from the baby. Interesting, right? Okay. I don't know who's going to sponsor these. It's probably very expensive. No, but that should work for. No, you see from that there in the Gemara that that's also called a Re'ias Bezdin. Even though I didn't see the baby itself, I saw it camouflage. It's also good. Interesting, right? Okay. New technology, Shiloh, based on that. Okay.
Is there any case where we could say that the fetus, well, when it comes out, is a fully Yisrael, not just a ger? Maybe if
that's a hold up.
Under 40 days.
I don't want to talk about Re'ias Ger yet. That's going to be part of it. When we get to Ger Katan, probably today, in a little while. So we'll eventually, hopefully, get to that also. But just that the kud of the sugya seems to come out, at least according to some Rishonim.
Just going back to the basin of the sea, what is like the basin of America? Like what's the standard?
I mean,
for what
they
see in terms of the tefillah?
They watch the tefillah.
Exactly. What do they do?
They stand. I'm not sure if every basin does the exact same thing. It's the same basic standard, the same basic theme is that the woman's covered over with something. They just see the head, she goes under, and then the basin runs out. I can't tell you for certain that every mikveh does it the exact same way, but there's a sheet that's covering over her.
If it's a ger, a man, so what do the basin have to see?
I mean, in theory, a man, they also have to see the same thing. Do they put a sheet for a man? I don't know if people so care about that.
They just watch.
They watch the rain. That goes under the water and they watch. Okay. So this idea that maybe you can serve as the... What do you mean?
Like somebody makes sure that all the
hair. The hair goes on. Yeah, well, yeah. The basin's watching that. Yeah, yeah. You mean even according to those mekilim who say you can have the basin standing in the side room, you better have a woman who's watching to make sure that the hair goes on. Yeah, for sure. So this idea that maybe the basin's role is not so much to be a kabbal, maybe you don't even need their cognizance, this could sometimes play a role in terms of a basin for the milo. The milo come in. So we haven't yet even spoken about the role of basin for milo. Kabbalah is a mitzvah, so sure you need a basin. For tefillah is 2 days in Taisa, 2 days in Shulchan Aruch. What about for the milo? If you hold that you don't need a basin for the tefillah, and presumably you don't need a basin for the meal either. It means that day in Tosfos that holds that basin only makes sense in the context of Kabbalah Samitzvah. That's where the give and take is. So then obviously all the other Maisa gates don't really require a basin. All the other least the Bidi have it. But if you hold it, you need a basin for everything. Like for a Choshish, for Shabbat Raisi, you need a basin for everything. So presumably you would need a basin for meal as well. So Rav Moshe writes that he's not so sure that that's true. Rav Moshe writes that it could be you could split between the two. It could be you could hold that maybe you need a basin for tefillah likuva, but a basin for a meal is not so tough. The requirement of a basin for a meal is not so important. Why is that? So this is almost a throwback. We spoke about the Rashba Shita a while ago, about how the Rashba explored the possibility after the meal before the tefillah, not so much because of Tov of the Shart B'yadah, but because the tefillah is almost like the Gemara Geretz. The tefillah is the Machla Patish. The tefillah's got to be last. So Moshe suggests that maybe the basin is there when the person becomes Jewish. They got to be the guy who, they have to be the ones who help him out of the water, so to speak. They're the ones who take him from being a goy to being a Jew. So the milah is done days before. The milah doesn't make him into Jewish. The milah is the prerequisite. It's the early stages. And maybe the basin wouldn't be needed there. So Moshe says svara, that maybe you don't need a basin for the milah. I get lemaisa, it's a svara. It's an interesting idea. Lemaisa, in the normal circumstances, we would have a basin present for the milah as well. But every once in a while, you have a milah's geirus that you may not have even realized was a milas geirus. Maybe not a tricky milas geirus. So we spoke a little bit about that. About when you have a milas shem mitzvah, can the milas shem mitzvah double as a milas geirus? And sometimes, let's say the moil has some suspicion that there's something funny going on here. So he has in mind the shem geirus, just in case. She doesn't tell anybody. Just in case it's the shem geirus. And the question is, is that good? So does he have to tell two other people? You have to have a whole nice Beisdin supervising this? What can I say? No, there are a lot of people around. There's the tzaddik around, there's the photographer around, the guys, the rabbis around, a lot of people standing there. So Dosh is the Beisdin. So if you would tap all these guys as they're munching on the bagels and lock this, and you guys realize you were just the Beisdin for Geirus, you know what you're talking about. So maybe that's also good. According to that Svar in the Nebut, according to that Yesh Mefarshim, maybe you don't need a Beisdin to be Makabal the Geirus. Again, these are different svaras that are thrown around. Lech, chila, you know, normally, whenever you need a basin, we should appoint a basin, you should have a formal basin, know what they're doing. But sometimes maybe we'll fall back on some of these ideas, they could have a basin that may not have necessarily known that what they were supposed to be doing. So again, this would be a case-by-case basis. You have to take this all into consideration, because this whole requirement to basin for anything short of kibbutz mitzvahs is itself talking about like this. So again, you have to, you know, think it through, see whether it would be sufficient, these quasi watered down, no pun intended, with these watered down forms of batidin. Okay, any last questions about the role of the basin here?
Does it have to be the same basin for each step?
I don't think so. Oh.
To that point, it seems like that, I don't know if you remember, the stature of the dayanim. Is it like them for asking the question?
They have to be, well, the dayanim have to be kosher, they have to be kosher edus, and then they have to be kosher the dayanus. So that's number one. To the dayanim have to be great tamid chacham? No. They could still technically be kosher the dayanus. It would not be such a good idea to have people who don't know, or at least one dayan doesn't know what's going on, because then you're going to run to a lot of shilas you may not even be familiar with. So obviously we would prefer there should be a dayan deal who knows a lot, and then that dayan may be able to take two other people who are not necessarily as experts.
Even for this last stage, let's say you had like Tamim Chachamim with all the questions throughout, and then just send Rishlichim, like me and a couple other guys to watch and even follow the tefillah.
You know, it's not, a lot of things can go wrong in the tefillah. You know, you need someone who knows Hilchos Chatzitza, someone who knows Hilchos Tefillah, make sure the mitzvah guy. But things could potentially go wrong, so I wouldn't leave a Geirus to, I think, bet against you. Just the three, 4 year guys. You know, I need the 5 year guy at least. Just the guy who, okay. Good, okay, any last things about the Beis Din? We'll move on to the next topic. Okay, so the next topic is a very unique part of Geirus, which has many, many applications, Lamaisa. And that's the Sugya of Ger Katan. So let's get a little bit of a background in terms of, you know, the halamdas, and then to see how the halamdas is going to play out for us in terms of the real life scenarios of Ger Katan. So the sugya, very famous sugya of Ger Katan, appears in Masechet Ksuvos and Daf Aleph. Rav Huna comes and says, Rav Huna, Ger Katan Madbilin Sol Das Beis Din. That's the word Beis Din here appears. So here it's clear that the Beis Din is wearing almost an additional hat. Besides the regular role of the hat of Beis Din as regular Geirus, here the Beis Din is playing a role in terms of in the unique status of a Ger Katan, because Ger Katan is a serious problem. How can a guy or a little kid, the kid's the Labar Das, so how can I do something for somebody else? That's obviously going to be a problem. So Huna says, no, it's okay, no big deal. I'm Rav Huna, Ger Katan, Bilnas Al Das. So Beis Din, why? Because Zachal Erem Shalom Befanav. Since everybody knows there's a din of Zachal Erem Shalom Befanav, I could do something advantageous for somebody, even though they're not aware of it. Now, not being aware of it can mean either because they're Mabashtan here, so they don't know what's going on. Well, even if they're standing in front of us, but they're a labar das, so that's considered to be like shalom b'fanav. So a katan b'fanav is like shalom b'fanav dami. So when a megabel a ger, Rav Huna says it's a cinch, just as I can give a gift to a katan without him knowing about it, I give it to somebody else to be zeichet as b'hel. So too, I can be megabel the katan without him even knowing about it, without halachically him knowing about it, because he's a labar das, and that's fine, no problem. Kedal yichidish Rav Huna. So if you would read the first lines of Ksuba Stapidal, if you would say, well, this is such a big chiddush, you need like days and days and weeks and months to learn the sugya to really understand, you know, the depths of what Rav Huna just said. So the Gemara is one of the strangest questions. What's the Gemara's question? This is Pshita. Any Tom the Ganari? Any 40 years speaker I can always say that to you. Yes, because we're friends. Anybody could have figured this out that you could do Ger Katan. What's the big deal? If you know, if you learned a little bit about Metzi, you learned a little bit about Basi, you know there's the din of Zachal and Shalom B'Fanav. So what's the jump from Zachal and Shalom B'Fanav? So the Gemara says, you're right, it's Taka not a jump. Rav Huna is really Pshita. The only Chiddush Rav Huna is that maybe one could have possibly had a wild Havamina. It's not such a schus to be Jewish. Crazy Havamina, maybe. I'm a Shulgana would have had such a Havamina. But you know, the Gemara Stof said even the crazy Havamina. So Kamash Bar Rav Huna, that being Jewish is a good thing. That's the only need of Rav Huna. So Rav Huna didn't really have to tell us Zachar Rav Huna. He just should have told us being Jewish is great. It's not Shvetz Zan Zid, it's Ziz Zan Zid. It's sweet to be a Jewish. Good. That's all Rav Huna really meant to say. The halachic part, we could have figured out on our own. So of course, this Gemara is very difficult because this is far from Pshita. It is so not Pshita that the Rishonim don't even know how it works altogether. The Rishonim posed so many different problems with the application of the principle of Zechia that we're not sure where we're coming or going in terms of the sugya. So there are fundamentally two big problems with this application of Zachron Shofar. Yes, we accept there's a principle called Zachron Shofar. Yes, it's a Dimin HaTorah. I know, I also learned Kiddush in the second paragraph. I know it's a Dimin HaTorah, but to apply this to Geirus is very, very problematic because the person who's doing Zechia here has two strikes against him. Number one, he's a Goy, and generally there's no Zechia for a Goy. So that's a problem. So that's probably the less of the two problems. So Taisa says, you're right, he's a Goy, but it's Yisrael. It means as he's becoming, I think there's such a word, his Jewishness, as he becomes a Jew, and he do the it's all rolled into one, so somehow we're able to overcome that problem. So that's the less of the two problems. But there's a much more basic problem, as he says, something that doesn't change the minute we begire him, he's still a katan. He was a katan. So if he's wiped the katan, he still remains a katan. So everybody knows that there's no zechiyah for a katan. So since I can't give a gift to you and say, have in mind to pick it up for Pliny HaKatan. That's not going to work. So Taisa says, really? Is that true? Well, it's not true, says Taisa. The Gemara Metzia says, Befeirush, Yesh zechiyah l'katan. The Gemara says, Pemalei, that if I give a gift, so I can be zechiyah. So I give it all the time, whenever we have a bar mitzvah in the shul. So I give them a set of Mishnah Berurah on Shabbos. So I know the kid's not going to sit and learn the Mishnah Berurah on Shabbos. So I can't give him a ton on Shabbos at all the tzarech. So what do I do? So I mezakeh to him before Shabbos. So I usually give it to somebody else during the week. Half the time the kid's not even bar mitzvah yet. I say, we just had a bar mitzvah. Last week bar mitzvah boy was bar mitzvah boy bayom. So Friday afternoon when I gave the Mishnah Berurah to somebody who was zechiyah on it, he wasn't even bar mitzvah yet. So that's okay. The Gemara Metzia says that works. Zechiyah l'katan yeshalom. So Taisa says, but if you look at the Gemara carefully, you'll notice that zechiyah l'katan yeshalom mid derabanan. That means mid derabanan he owns the Mishnah Berurah, but mid derais he doesn't own the Mishnah Berurah. So Taisa says, since the concept of zechiyah for a katan is only mid derabanan, that's going to be a big problem. So how in the world are we going to use a principle mid derabanan to make somebody Jewish mid deraisa? That doesn't sit right. We've been learning 4 weeks of Chos Geiris. That doesn't sound right to us. You can use a concept mid derabanan to enable someone to become Jewish. We want someone to be Jewish min haTorah, not just mid derabanan. You want to tell me that Shmita b'zman zman derabanan? Okay. You want to tell me Brachos Nen is derabanan? You tell me guys Jewish mid derabanan? That doesn't sound right. So Taisus throws the hands up. So Taisus suggests one possibility that maybe he's not a Jewish midrabanan. If he's Jewish midrabanan, he's going to get married in 20 years from now. He's going to marry a Bas Yisrael. He's going to be in Issa Derais. He goes, yesh kach yabcham lachadam. Taisus goes on a whole tangent. Pulling out Gemara out of Masechet Yevamos to try to explain the concept of a theoretical concept of a ger mid derabanan. But at the end of the day, I don't think Tess really believes it. I can't really say such a thing. But the guy's only a ger mid derabanan, that doesn't really sound right. So it's not a problem, it's not a pella. So Tosus starts to give you a little bit of the teretz and sukkos, and a little bit more tzedek in different places. So Tosus shows you that which we just told you, that zechiyah for katan is only mid derabanan, that's not so simple. There is no Gemara that says that beferish. Well, it says beferish depending on what your gears in the Gemara is. There are actually two gears in the Gemara of Metzia and Ayin Aleph. One gears in the Gemara is that katan yeshlo zechiyah midirabanan, and the other gears is katan yeshlo zechiyah, period. The word midirabanan was crossed out. That doesn't exist. So Taisa says, if you hold that a katan has zechiyah midiraisa, then Rav Huna is back in business. Then get katan makes a lot of sense. If you hold that there's no zechiyah for katan min haTorah, then Taka Rav Huna doesn't make any sense. Taisa is still stuck because they're not really sure which Geirus is right. So Taisa is still searching for an answer. But the one thing Taisa says is clear, that if you really truly hold the Yeh Zechiyah L'Katan B'Deraisa, then it's okay. Then Geir Katan makes a lot of sense. It's just a corollary of Zachar Lerem Shor Mifana. What should that Machlekes depend on? Which Geirus is correct? So then this is outside of Geirus a little bit, but obviously you have to notice a little bit. Why should you not say that there's Zechiyah for Katan B'Deraisa? This is part of the age old three words. What? Zechiyah mitam shlichus is zechiyah la mitam shlichus. If you hold that zechiyah is related, whether you think related means it's a subcategory, whether you think related means it's related, whether you think related means it's not related, whatever you think it means, whether you like the tzitzit, whatever you think related is, if you hold that zechiyah and shlichus are somehow connected to one another, then there's clearly no shlichus for katan, and then there wouldn't be any zechiyah for katan min haTorah. Any zechiyah that appears in the mitzvah would only be midirabanan, which would leave us with a problem in ger katan. If you hold that Zechiyah is Lamitam Shlichus, so therefore Zechiyah stands on its own 2 feet and it can exist for a Katan even in a Torah, then Rav Huna is back in business. So at the end of the day, we have the statement of Rav Huna that, yeah, Gavaldik is a Ger Katan, it works, it's wonderful, and we can't quite pin it down why it works. So according to some Rishonim, it'll work. According to those Rishonim, will say, if you hold Zechiyah Lamitam Shlichus, if you hold Yeh Zechiyah Katan Midarais, if you hold X, Y, Z, A, B, C, so then we can understand the Pasha of Ger Katan. It's a very, very hard beer, and again, it's limiting itself, but there are some Rishonim who say this. Because of this problem, so Tosfos and Masechet Sanhedrin went down a whole different road, a gamrei different picture in terms of the sugya. Tosfos says that we misunderstood the sugya mitchila v'yatzayif in terms of just the ABCs, the lumdus. Again, the practical halacha is going to obviously be a reflection of the lumdus. We have to make sure we understand what the lumdus is. Tosfos and Sanhedrin, at the beginning of Ben Sira Mori, writes that we missed the whole boat. We mamish misunderstood what Ger Katan is based on. It has absolutely nothing to do with Zoch Lashon Lefanim. Zero. Mamish nothing. How does Ger Katan work? So says Tosfos, when do you say Zoch Lashon Lefanim? Zoch Lashon Lefanim means that I'm in China and somebody wants to give me a gift. So Reuven gives a gift to Shimon on my behalf. That's called Zoch Lashon Lefanim. Over here, I'm not giving something to the Katan. How does a person become Jewish? He goes into the mikvah. He receives the bris milah. So Tosfos coins a new phrase called Nasa Geiris Begufo Shel Katan. The Katan himself is going to the mikvah. The Katan himself is getting a bris milah. So it says Tosfos, what does that have to do with Zach? It's not the wrong sugya. This has nothing to do with Zach Shel Katan. How does the Geiris of a Geir Katan work? Because Nasa Meis Begufo Shel Katan. So it's a great pshah. It answers all the kashim. What problem does it leave? Why does the Gemara say Zach Shel Bafanah? Why does the Gemara dress a cop? It's Zach Shel Bafanah. It has nothing to do with Zach Shel Bafanah. So Tosfos gives you a whole nother pshat. Tosfos heads and says, no, you misunderstood the Gemara Legamri. The emes is the Geirus works like we just described it. Because now it's a Geirus Begufo Shel Katan. The Gemara is not even talking about why the Geirus works. What's the Gemara talking about? Who remembers? Was it Mashiach? 3 years ago? What right does Bezin have to go take a little child as a non-Jew and throw him into the water and declare that he's Jewish? Well, that's what we do. Bezin has nothing else to do. We could do Atar Tadarim, we could write Puzzles, we could make Kiddush HaChodesh, we can do Irni Dachav, so many other jobs to do. And that's what we do. We walk around doing those things. Like, why do we do such a thing? So Tosfos explains, that's what the Gemara was bothered with. The Gemara was bothered with the sociological dilemma, why Bezin is getting involved in these ridiculous activities. And the answer is, because it's good for people. Because it's really good to be Jewish. And you see from the halacha of Zachar Shal Bafanav that the halacha likes us to be nice to each other. The halacha wants us to do things that are beneficial. It's a good, positive experience that Bezin is involved in. This is not wasting our time. This is part of our Tikkun Olam mission. We are helping out the society as a whole by being Megayer, those children who we could be Megayer. It's a good, positive thing because, after all, Zachar Shal Bafanav. So, according to this Tosfos Sanhedrin, you have to look at this Gemara like with Gamri, a different set of eyes. When I read the Gemara, Amrav Huna Gyakot Rabbin Sol Das Beis, and my time was Zachar Bafanav, I was reading it like a Lamdan. I was reading it like in the Beis Medrash. That how does this work? What are the mechanics? What are the halachic parameters of this? Oh, Zachin, I learned Kedushin, Tziyah, Basra, said Shiurim, Shlichas, Zachim, Itam, Shlichas. That was the reason. According to Tosfos, this is like, the Kiriti, the Sugya, it's like Habdil, it's like a reading in Wurzweiler. Is this a sociological question? Is this a good thing for society or not a good thing for society? Is this a nice thing for the community or not a good thing for world community? So it's a different Kasha, different parents, a different Sugya Legamri. So according to Tosfos and Sanhedrin, the real mechanics of this Geirus have nothing to do with Zachshon Bafana. The mechanics of the Geirus is not a Geirus Begufo Shel Katan. So you have two very, very, very different pictures in the Rishonim as to how Ger Katan works. It works. No question, it works. But how it works, wow. So there is a third possibility as to how Ger Katan works, which is in Lumdus, further away from Tosfos Tanin, close to Tosfos Subas. It's based on like the simple reading of the Gemara, Zachar Shel Bafanav, but a way to circumvent some of the problems that Tosfos ran into. Tosfos ran into the problems, it's a katan, and it's a zechim b'tam shlichos, and we can't do it, it's a zechim b'tam. So Rashi may be saying this, it's not clear, the Shach claims that Rashi says this, and the Shach says, even if Rashi didn't say it, I'm saying it, says the Shach. He writes as follows, the Shach writes that the Geirus works based on a zochin, but a very, very unique kind of a zochin. The Gemara Kedushin in the Yidus Enel Perek says there are three different scenarios in halacha that I can act on somebody else's behalf. either if I'm a shaliach, that's one parsha, or if it's zachar shel b'fanav, second parsha, and there's a third parsha, the parsha of Beis Din Mamid and Apotropos Liyosayimim. If you have little children who all of a sudden they yorish a lot of property, and now they're not old enough to know what to do with the property, the Gemara says, how do you know the Beis Din has to appoint an Apotropos for them? The Gemara learns that from Sukkot. V'nasi Echad, V'vata, in Parshas Maaseh, when they divided up Eretz Yisrael, right before they came into Eretz Yisrael, so Moshe Rabbeinu was told to appoint the fit Nasiim in charge of each Sheva. So some of the people in the Sheva were under Bar Mitzvah. You have 80,000 people, a few of them are not yet Bar Mitzvah. So who's going to divide up their land? And sometimes the fathers died, there was no one around, so they were under, who's going to take care of their property? So the Gemara says it's understood, the Nasi Echad, that the role of the Nasi was to act as the Apotropos, he was the Beis Din, he was in charge of the Nesari HaYisayimim. So the Gemara condition says, we derive from here a Din L'Dairis, that from here the Torah gives the Koyach, a special Koyach of an Apotropos, to work with the Yisayimim Z'nechasim. So if a person dies, and they leave over Yisayimim, and allow a lot of money, so the Apotropos is allowed to invest, he's allowed to buy, he's allowed to sell, he's allowed to do whatever is in the best interest of the Yisayimim, he's allowed to work on other people's stuff. Even though the Yisom or Shalom Idas, that's okay. It's not Zachin or Shalom Bafan. It's different. It's the Parsha of Apotropos. What's the difference between Zachin, regular, and Apotropos? The answer is obvious. One is done under the auspices of a Beis Din, and one is not. So comes the Shach and says, that's what Gev Katan is. Gev Katan is Zechiah, but it's Zechiah plus. It's not regular Zechiah. It's Zechiah through the vehicle, through the channels of Beis Din. Whenever you're acting through the channels of Beis Din, that trumps everything. That you're allowed to do in Shiftanim. That's exactly what the Apotropos is. So the Shach says that when the Beis Din is the guy of the Katan, so the Gemara says, Ge Katan, but also das Beis Din, the role of the Beis Din is not just the regular role of Beis Din for Geirus, but the role of the Beis Din is to wear the hat of Apotropos as well, because without being an Apotropos, then they couldn't do what they're trying to do. So that's a third Mahalach as to what the Kerch of this Ge Katan is all about. The Shach has this whole Shiva Torah. In, not in Hilchos Geirus even, he has it in Simon Shenhei in Yerodea, in the Simon Rav Pidyon Aben. So he has it because the Acharon of the whole Machlokes, that if you have a kid who didn't have a Pidyon Aben, and he's not yet Bar Mitzvah, can the Beis Din do it on his behalf? Or can somebody else do it on his behalf? So the Poskim have a whole discussion about that. So the Shach talks about in that piece, all about the Koyach of Beis Din to do things on behalf of Ketanim. So it's not even in the regular Shach, it's in the Kudus HaKesef. Because the Shach wrote his Perish, but the Taz wrote his Perish at the same time. So the Shach had certain things he wanted to disagree with the Taz. By the time the Shach was printed, the Taz was printed at the same time. So he didn't have a chance to actually critique things in the Taz. So he wrote another Sefer, notes on the side of the Taz, and he called them the Kudus HaKesef. Why did he call them the Kudus HaKesef? Because the Pasuk says, Torei Zahav Na'asalachim Kudus HaKesef. What's the problem? Yeah, Torah Zav is with a Tov, and Torah Zav with a Taz is with a Tes. What's the answer? Sheva Shadikta, yes, Tes, Tav, it's all the same thing. Okay, so the Shach knew that it was misspelled. He meant it as a joke. Torah Zav, Nas, Loving, Kudus HaKesef. So there's a long Kudus HaKesef in Simon Shenhei that develops this theme about Geirus and Pidyon Aben, and he claims that Rashi in Ksuvah Zavid Alpha was this way. So we have at least three different Biurim in the Rishonim / Acharonim as to just the mechanics of this Ger Katan. How does it work even? How do we overcome the problem that it's Shalom Yitaytay? So if you hold, if you hold that there is a Chiyah for Katan Min HaTorah, if you hold like that Gersa, that there's a Chiyah for Katan Min HaTorah, and the Chiyah is not Mitam Shalichos, so then the Ger is simple, it's just plain and simple Zachalem Shalifanov. No lumbus to it. Just simple Zachalem Shalifanov. If it's based, or if it's not based on that, then maybe it's based on the Zechiah of Apotropos or Beis Din. And if it's not even based on that, then it's based on Nasa Geirus B'Gufo Shel Katan, and the Zechiah of Apotropos is just a sociological statement, not a halachic statement. So at the end of the day, everyone agrees to the Din. Everyone agrees to the Huna. I mean, Pashas, everyone agrees to the Halacha to the Huna, that there is such a Din. How the mechanics are, we're not quite sure. Why do the mechanics become so important? Because the Gemara then puts the brakes on the Huna. The Gemara says that, yes, it's true that Ger Katan works, but Higdili Chavim Limchais. So unbelievable then that once the child turns right before he gets older, the child can be Meicha. The child can say, I don't really want to be Jewish. It was a nice idea the last few years, but I don't really want to be Jewish. The Gemara says goodbye. He says, sure. He's Jewish. So he's not considered to be Jewish. Higdili Chavim Limchais. There's some Sefer writes in a tshuva that this is a very, very dangerous halacha, because then, how are you going to raise such a kid He's going to touch all the wine. He's going to cook our food. He's going to trade up the whole kitchen. If the Goloi Milsa, the day before his bar mitzvah, he tells us he doesn't want this whole story, then the Goloi Milsa was afraid that he was a guy. He was never Jewish all along. So the Chassam Sofer says, how are you going to run a household like that? So he says, don't worry, that's not going to happen. You send your kid to yeshiva, you raise him nice, they must double want to be Jewish. You know, it doesn't, so then you cash your whole kitchen and afraid. You figure out how to deal with it. But you don't have to worry about it. But the din is, theoretically, the tachik dilichat mo'ich, the child can be a mo'icher. The question is, how do we understand that? Why should that halacha be true? Take dilichat mo'ichos. Generally, when a person converts, once a person becomes Jewish, he came back out. Let's say a person converted 20 years ago, and now they decide, you know, maybe not such a good idea. So the Gemara says that the person is like Yisrael Mumer, that they like any other Jew goes off the derech. If the conversion was done kedas kedin, everything was done properly, there was a real kabbalah mitzvah, it was paskin up that he was Jewish. 20 years later, he wants to be going again. Can't do that. He's Yisrael Mumer. The Gemara says if Ubi Makadosh and Isha, so the woman needs to get in the derech pashtus. That there's no way to undo a geirus. So how can you undo a geirus of a ger katan? So there must be something else going on here. So according to the first group of Rishonim who say that ger katan is based on zachar lo mishum lefanav, so we understand exactly how you can undo a geirus lemafrei of a ger katan. The Gemara Rashi says that, well, let's say I'm doing a zechiyah for somebody. I want to give you a gift. So I want to be a nice guy. So you're in China right now. So I go to Reuben. I say, Reuben, pick up this gift. I give a $100 gift. Pick up this $100 bill on behalf of Shimon. So when Shimon comes back from China, I'm so happy. I tell him, Shimon, you won't believe what I did for you. I gave you a $100 gift last week. So Shimon gets so upset. He says, you're trying to kill me. I don't want your gift. I don't want to be beholden to you. I don't like you. I never want to speak to you. Don't do me any favors. So the Gemara said the favor, that undoes the Zechiyah. So then the gift doesn't belong to him anymore. That doesn't belong to him anymore. Never belonged to him. It's a Goloi Milsa Mafreya. Zachar Lo Mishum Lefanav means that you can assume that it's probably a Zechus. If you can't even assume that it's a Zechus, you're not even sure it's a Zechus, then you can't even do it Mitchila. Because Ein Chav Nel Mel Lefanav, you can't do something that's detrimental to somebody unless he permits it. So if, even though objectively it looked like a Zechus, I thought I'm giving him a nice $100, I thought most people like $100, but if he personally comes and says he doesn't want $100, that undoes this chosi from Mafreya, and it never really belonged to him. So, yeah, I just told over the story of Mareil Shia from Adelaide. No one's here from Mareil Shia. About the Mechiris Chametz, Pesach, Rabbi Rapp. I didn't tell you here, right?
No.
Okay. So it was a while ago. We used to be roommates, me and Rabbi Rapp, one of my many illustrious roommates over the years, and most illustrious in some ways. So, one year he was going away to Eretz Yisrael right before Pesach, and he wanted to transfer all the ownership of all the chametz to me. So I should take care of all his mechiras chametz, and I should own all the chametz, and I'll do mechiras chametz. I wasn't particularly interested in owning any of his chametz. I wasn't interested in owning any of my chametz. So I was going to throw my chametz. I wouldn't want all his garbage in the room. But he didn't ask me. He just went ahead and he mocked it at somebody else. All the, he said, make a kinyan chalipa here for Rabbi Sinolovsky. He didn't call me that at the time, but pulled me that out. He said, and he should be Zeichet all my chametz. So he left, on the way to the airport, and the other fellow told me that Rabbi Rapp was Mazaka to all his chametz. So I said, right away, the Gemara says, you're Mecha right away. I'm not even thinking about a Teichel Edim. I said, I don't want it. The Chalal don't want his chametz. So I was Mecha right away. So once I'm Mecha, then the chametz doesn't belong to me. And the Gemara knows that the Hamatan was bought, but it's still his chametz. So I called him up. I said to him, you got to give me your own chametz. He was not happy. Okay. So it's over here, according to those Rishonim who say that the Zechiyah here is basically a din of Zechiyah, so then I understand how exactly Yigil Chav Nuchos works. Yigil Chav Nuchos undermines the Zechiyah. But if you hold, like, let's say you hold this, it's nothing to do with Zechiyah. It's not regular Zechiyah, it's not Zechiyah. Yisayim, it's not Zechiyah. It's nothing to do with Zechiyah. Nasa Geirus, Bukup Ashur Katan, this doesn't make any sense. How could it be that the guy could undo the geirus? According to Tosafot Sanhedrin, it was the same as the ger gadol. It was the same as any other ger. Nase a geirus b'gufo shel katan. The geirus was done independently. It wasn't done on day zechiyah. Zechiyah was only meant for the social work part of the figure. So then, why can he be lecham nimchos? How can he undo the geirus? So Tosafot Sanhedrin is bothered with this question. Tosafot says no, for a different reason. Tosafot says nase a geirus b'gufo shel katan. That means the tevila was nase b'gufo shel katan. The mila was done, the group was done, but what wasn't done yet? When is that going to be done? So Taisa says, you know when that's going to be done? When the kid turns bar mitzvah. So according to Taisa, it sounds like he's not really Jewish all along. Kid Kotlin is a misnomer. We just did the meal of tefillah when he was a kid, but the Pash says he's still a goy until he turns bar mitzvah. When he turns bar mitzvah and he starts to perform the mitzvahs, thus it's kabbalah mitzvahs. So what's Taisa saying? Kabbalah mitzvahs doesn't only mean you have to give a formal declaration, I'm hereby going to keep Shabbat. If you're doing it, Kabbalah mitzvahs tell me that. So we wake up the kid in the morning with bar mitzvah. He goes to put on tefillah. He says Kriyishma. That Shabbos, he keeps Shabbos. He doesn't. He walks by McDonald's and knows no way. He's mekabel for himself. Do all the mitzvahs. So Taisa says that's why he did the chalim chayis. If he's meicha, so then he gloy me also that he was not mekabel mitzvahs. If he's not mekabel mitzvahs, like any other guy who had a meal and tefillah without kabbalah mitzvahs, he's like the guy. He's still not Jewish. So Taisa has a whole new theory as to what's going on here. So we have much different worlds here between the Taisa and the Rashi's and the Shach's and the Taisa's and Hedrin as to what is the goal of Yigdil Chalim Limchos. Is Yigdil Chalim Limchos undermining the Zchus, or is Yigdil Chalim Limchos the undermining the lack of Kabbalah and Mitzvahs?
Is it Megala Makra
that
means Jew all the time?
According to who?
According to their...
No, according to Taisa, even if he is Megala Makra Mitzvahs, he's not Jewish.
So whatever Chassam Sofer is worrying about.
I don't know, the Chassam Sofer wasn't going with his Taisus of Chalna. Well, you can wait till later also. Yeah. Why do you do it now? Does it feel good?
Isn't it similar to cases we had like when like the Mila was impossible to do or like a Kabbalah mitzvah?
You're trying to explain the other issue. You're trying to explain if you don't say Tosis and Hedrin, so Tapa, where's the Kabbalah and Mitzvahs? So you're trying to say Achidish God, you're trying to say you don't need Kabbalah and Mitzvahs. Since whatever you can do, the show must go on. That's what you're trying to say. So the problem is that that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that Svar by Korban, because nobody can do a Korban. The Din Vodar Seicha means that we can't cancel Geirus for this generation. We can't have a generation without any Geirus. So for us to say, well, there's no Bais HaMikdash, so we close down all the Geirus, and that's not acceptable. Well, there's no Dayan Smuchim, so therefore there's no Geirus. That's not acceptable. Here, we're not closing down Geirus. We're telling you we'll accept all people over the age of 13, and we won't accept anyone under the age of 13. Why is that like such a closing down of Geirus? Why would that be such a disaster? So that's a big Pella. It's a big Chiddush to say like you. Because it should be Kibetz, that sounds a little like you. It's a big Chiddush.
We just rely completely on age 13 for godless here?
Oh, that's a whole other story. Why do I keep on saying the number 13? Because you're mechavan to the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer writes, at what age does a non-Jew become bar mitzvah? I mean, it's a funny phrase, but at what age does a non-Jew become responsible for his actions? The Shem Mitzvah B'nai Noach. So the Chassam Sofer quotes the Rambam with the Malachim, and the Rambam writes that Shiurim were not given from B'nai Noach. All the regular dinim, because there aren't too many shiurim, because Shiurim, I say, Ev Menachai, there are sugyas where there are Shiurim, would play a role. So the Rambam writes that Shiurim are Halacha Moshe Sinai. The Halacha Moshe Sinai wasn't given to B'nai Noach. They weren't at Har Sinai. We were given Halacha Moshe Sinai. For the Goyim, there aren't such things. Shiurim don't make any sense. So Chassam Sofer writes, how do you know that someone becomes bar mitzvah at the age of 13? So he quotes the Chuvah Sarash. It says, that's the Halacha Moshe Masinai. So he says, the Shear of 13, or Beis Iris, or a combination of both, whatever exactly the Shear of Galdos is. So he says, who says that applies to Goyim? So he says, when do Goyim become bar mitzvah? Once they understand what's going on. He says, there wouldn't have been a parish of being bar mitzvah. There wouldn't have been a Chiddush of bar mitzvah. But what he said, once you're old enough to understand what's going on, you should become bar mitzvah. So we keep on using the number 13 because since this is impacting Klal Yisrael, it's impacting becoming Jewish, so we're assuming that's the cutoff point.
Even within that, once the difference between Beis Saros and 13 it's a short amount of time, but as soon as you reach whichever one is actually when you can do be mekabel mitzvos, if we're wrong, like let's say that there's Beis Saros at 12 years and 9 months.
No, that's not going to do it. Beis Aris before 13 is not going to do it. You need Beis Aris after 13. In order to be a Gadol Midaraisa, you need Shanim V'Simanim. So you're right. That in theory, you could have reached your 13th birthday and not yet be a Gadol. That is possible. But Gemara says that we rely on Lekor Chazak and Rava. We assume that the person probably has developed Beis Aris. We only rely on that. Well, so that's tricky. So we pass in the halacha that we rely on that for all Dinim Derabanan, not for Dinim Deraisa. Many say that group is only from the Midrash. But it's Minat Torah, it's really a Gavalik Rav. It's an unbelievable Rav that the kid probably 13 is ready, probably developed not properly. So the fact that we don't rely on that for the Dirim Deraisa could be itself only from the Midrash. Possible. Talking about funny shows about that. If you have a 13-year-old boy, he wants to come and blow shofar for us. So he's going to tell us that he has Beis Iris. Can you believe him? So he's only believed because he's bar mitzvah. Mm-hmm. But we don't know he's bar mitzvah. So he's telling us he's bar mitzvah. Mm-hmm. We're not sure he's bar mitzvah. So we spend most of the day trying to figure out what comes from. Okay, anyway, getting back to the story. So we seem to have two very, very different approaches as to what exactly is the role of this Higdili Chom Nuchas. To the Bini Nafkamina. At the end of the day, that's the Higdili Chom Nuchas. Is there a Nafkamina? So what, could there possibly be any exceptions to the rule of Higdili Chom Nuchas? Could there be any type of a Giyakotan who doesn't have an option to back out? So there is a Sugya within the Sugya of Zachal HaShul Befanov that, although it's clear from the Gemara that if I do a zechiya for somebody and then he backs out, so it's Gloy Milsom Afreya was never schus, there is a Rash for Maseches Kiddushin in the first part that suggests that what if you have something which is mamash schus gomor, something which is such an absolute schus, polishim suffix. Giving a gift to somebody is a schus, but not a schus gomor. I mean, some people don't like gifts, some people don't want to be beholden. But there are sometimes to do something which is such an unbelievable schus gomor that maybe one could argue, for you to say, no, I don't agree, it's not a schus for me, it's like, you're not even bar hochi to make such a statement. So the Rashba writes in Kedushin that Lula is the Mistafina. If I wouldn't be afraid, he said, but he said it. See, if he would have really been afraid, he wouldn't have said it, then he wouldn't have had a third to say that. But he says, Lula, if not for the fact I'm afraid to say it, it would nearly loymar that the Medivah Mamun, you could back out from the schus. That's only if it's not a super duper objective schus gomor. But once it enters into the new category of schus gomor, it's very hard to back out to the clear, it's Nishkin schus. But it's not him, it's a chakra, it's not a schus, of course it's a schus. So if that's true, and that Rashba would be accepted by Halacha, that could raise a potential red flag here in terms of Gekotim. So the Gemara says, because you could argue, I mean, you love being Jewish, but I mean, they named it off the record. You know, one could argue it's not a Schus Gomor. Maybe one could argue that there are certain downsides. You know, maybe, I'm not saying I would say such a thing, but I could hear a person possibly, it's Shayach, that a person would maybe say, there's a downside of getting ready for Pesach. I don't know, maybe. Yeah. The person would think that it's hard. Okay, Baruch Hashem, it's hard, it's good. So there's no downside of it. But so there's a multi-billion-dollar industry that is cropped up in response to that phenomena that some people had this mishigas that they thought somehow there's something negative about getting ready for Pesach. So Hashem Yirachem, Hashem Yaza, whatever. But we don't have to elaborate. But let's say you have a situation where a person becomes Jewish in a type of a way, a type of a manner that it is absolutely schus gomor. Nobody in their right mind would ever say that there's anything negative about this. What kind of a case would that be? So already, the Gemara already alludes to this. The Rishon is talking about, what if you have what's called, not that we found this Grisha baby somewhere, we decided to adopt this Grisha baby and make him Jewish. So remember, the baby turns 13, he could say, you know, why did you guys adopt me? You adopted me, not that I wake up, put on the phone every day, I gotta keep Shabbos, gotta go to Yeshiva High School. Why don't you let the Grisha family down the block? It's so much more fun. I could be going to the parties Friday night, I could be doing whatever I want. But, hey, what did you adopt me for? So I can hear a person saying, maybe it's not as close. Of course it is, but maybe Ken's not as close. What if that's not what happened? What if a whole non-Jewish family converted together? This guy, Ruhu Banavimai, a whole non-Jewish family converts together. The father, the mother, the kids, all of them, everyone converts together. So now, when this kid, the two-year-old kid who converted 11 years ago, at his bar mitzvah, he's going to get up and he's going to say, no, I want out of this. I want out of this. We're your biological parents. We've been together, we're a whole family. We took you on vacations, we bought you everything you needed. Now you're going to tell us that you would have rather that we should have given you up for adoption. Do you get him to another Grisha? Doesn't make any sense. So some of Rishon, the Bahad, a group of Rishon say, if it's this guy who Banavima, a whole group of Grisha family converts together, how can anybody say this Chalim place? So does that make sense or not? Does that chiluk make sense? Of course, that depends on the shaila. If you hold that Gdil Chal Mimchos is rooted in the sugya of Zechus, so then according to this Rash Pesvara, you can argue that it wouldn't apply over here. But if you hold that Gdil Chal Mimchos is a statement of a lack of Kabbalah Samitzvahs, because you need a Kabbalah Samitzvahs and you don't have it, so then Pachlis, you need Kabbalah Samitzvahs. Whether it's a good thing, a bad thing, a benefit, not, if you really hold that a Ger Katan needs a formal Kabbalah Samitzvah at the age of 13, if he's not presenting himself as a Shomer Mitzvahs, then he's Jewish. He's not going to be Jewish anymore. So that could be a very, very real Nafkim in Ladina. Could be a very common scenario. Very, very common scenario of Bizmar Hazet. We have whole families that are potentially converting together. Sometimes you have families who thought they were Jewish and now they're apart. Now they want to all convert together. And now the 13-year-old kid wants to opt out. Not so simple. Not so fast at all. But he has an option to opt out. Not so simple at all. So hopefully, the next year, we'll try to talk a little bit more about some of the details of Gekotan. and then wrap up some of the odds and ends of this game. So next year, I think it's going to be the basement. Right? Okay, good. Okay, so next year, we're going to cut up the map. We'll see what the on top of it is.